mine eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Open mine eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld. And each week I explore new possibilities of consciousness, new ways of exploring who we are as an expanding spiritual culture. And one of the oldest sciences of this wave of consciousness is astrology. And tonight we have a real expert in the field, and we're going to talk about all aspects of astrology for the first half of the show. And then the second half we have a healer named Master Sha from China who's going to talk about healing Qigong. But let's welcome Mitch Lewis. Mitch, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, Alan.
Let me just shut off this theme song. So what I'm interested in astrology is obviously the universe is sort of made of consciousness, and they have these planets, these heavenly bodies that somehow affect our thinking and our behavior and influence us in a certain way. And there's cycles that I guess astrologers can see coming that will predict certain human reactions.
Mm-hmm.
How does that actually work? I mean, how does, I know it's a pretty basic astrological question, I haven't heard an answer for it, but how do these things out there in space affect human behavior?
Well, Alan, I may be have a different opinion than a lot of other astrologers, but I see things exactly the reverse. I don't think that the planets affect us. I don't think that the gravity of Saturn or Jupiter is pulling and tugging us in any way. I think that astrology is a human science. We are humanist astrologers, most of us. And it's exactly the opposite. It's what we as a species are going through that is reflected in the stars. And, for example, when I traded commodities for many years, and one of my specialties was cotton, and some people would ask me, especially other astrologers, what rules cotton? And my answer is nothing rules cotton. It grows and it dies, and it grows and it dies. Ask me what rules our relationship with cotton, human relationship with cotton. The answer is Venus.
Everything about that?
Well, through many years of working with it, when I first got on the floor, they brought me up there because cotton was trading at $1.17 a pound, and even in the Civil War, it never went above 99 cents. So they could not figure out what was happening, and I had to come up with an answer quickly, and I did, through intuition, and then spent 12 years studying it to prove what I had learned. And Venus is the ruler of cotton, but of course that's a simplification. If you're trading commodities, you take a lot of things into account. But whenever we say we speak of rulership, we're speaking of the human influence that it has on us. You know, when you – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. You have a question?
No, I'm just curious. Like, I mean, I know there's the basics that there's the planets and houses and constellations and signs, but how do we know that Venus has a certain effect on the human psyche? I mean, what laws – I mean, I think you said this before, but – what human realities make that interaction possible?
If you consider that the universe is pretty much in order, that Saturn takes 28 and a half years to go around the zodiac and around the sun, and always has and always will, we assume, and that molecules remain in place and everything is in order, but we're so egocentric as to think that we are outside of that order. And we're not. We are a part of it, which, of course, if humanity could understand, we would have less negative effect on our environment, on other species and things like that. So because we are a part of the order of things, the solar system, which is, let's call it the realm that our souls get to play in, if you believe in reincarnation, we go up, we come back down again. I don't even want to get into reincarnation on other planets. Let's just say within our solar system, everything is in order. And as humanity grows, we discover new luminaries, new planetary bodies. We talked about this earlier today, you and I. And each time we discover a new one, it's a rise in human consciousness. Uranus was discovered in 1760, just in time for Ben Franklin to stick a kite, a key on the end of a kite, and discover how to funnel electricity. So he invented the lightning rod. Well, electricity is ruled by Uranus. And in the 1800s, we discovered Neptune. In 1930, we discovered Pluto, and so on. And as we do this, our consciousness as a species rises, grows, expands.
So you're saying Zodiac is a map of consciousness in a sense? It's an externalization
of the human collective and individual consciousness. That's exactly what I think it is. Yeah.
But isn't that very egocentric, or even that very or self-centered, to think that the universe reflects us?
No. I don't think the universe reflects us. I think we are part of the universe, and the interpretation of astrology has been left up to humans, because no other species on the planet cares enough, has the consciousness to look up in the sky and say, ooh, look at that. But if dogs could, they would say, oh, my God, Saturn's on my Venus. I might get sick this year. But dogs don't think that way. But humans do. So if you have a pet and you watch the pet's chart, as I've done with my dog for many years, you will see that it works. It actually does. And for many years, I poo-pooed pet astrology, because I do think it's more of a human science. But a Cocker Spaniel is going to be a Cocker Spaniel, whether he's born under Aries or Virgo. They're very similar, and yet events happen in their lives based on astrology just as they do on human lives.
So don't you think it's pretty amazing that we have a map to the inner and outer realms through looking at the sky? I mean,
absolutely, if people would only accept it. And, you know, Alan, astrology really doesn't need you or me as its apologists, because it's been around for 4,000 or 5,000 years. And if you go into Barnes & Noble, you'll find one or two books on tarot, and maybe one on palmistry, and 50 on astrology.
It's an interpretive science. That's why, you know, it's up to the individual and to interpret it, and that's where the controversy is, because everyone will interpret things differently.
Yes, and yet you find that most astrologers and astrology books interpret certain things very, very similarly. Most things very similarly. It gets into the specifics. You know, we're at a very interesting time in our history, of course. And everybody, I do a lot of mundane astrology, and I was able to predict quite a number of things in my newsletter and on TV and radio and things, including the recent crash, in fact, the double crash, the dip in February, March, when the S&Ps went down to 666.
Tell us, what was the signs in the sky that helped you predict these type of economic happenings?
Well, there was a series of things that occurred. First, Saturn. You always follow the transits of Saturn. When Saturn got into Cancer, the ruler of the home, Saturn actually rules the outside of the house. Cancer rules the inside of the house. And when Saturn got into Cancer, we began and began to oppose Neptune. We started the biggest bubble in the history of housing ever. And whenever Saturn is in opposition to Neptune, there is a bubble. It happened in 1760 in the South Sea bubble. It happened in the 1970s with the commodities and the inflationary bubble, and so on and so forth. So I realized that we were in a housing bubble, and then when literally the month that Saturn left Cancer and entered Leo, which was July of 2005, was the top of the housing market. From then on, it did nothing but go down. And it collapsed under the Neptune influence. Then Saturn began to oppose Uranus, the planet of sudden and radical changes. And that's when I knew we were having a crash. And I knew what was going to cause it was the housing bubble collapsing and the ultimate mortgages, etc. And I've been writing about this for several years. And the timing was perfect, because the first time that Saturn opposed Uranus was Election Day. And we elected a black man for the presidency, a complete reversal in power, all kinds of amazing things happening, as well as a stock market crash.
Well, how come no other astrologers see what you're seeing, though? That's the interesting part.
Well, I'm not sure that there may be some who do. I don't have time to follow everybody's career, but I was doing a series of lectures at the Princeton Club for a group named SIRE, the Society for the Investigation of Recurring Events, in which I predicted all of this, as well as in my newsletters. And in fact, if you like, I'll forward you an outline of some of the predictions. It's interesting to look at. And I'm sure there are other astrologers who caught it. I can't believe I'm the only one. Look, remember, there's an old saying, astrology is never wrong. Astrologers, on the other hand, can sometimes make very big mistakes.
You told me we're at a big turning point right now, a big pivotal shift in consciousness. Can you talk about what you're seeing coming?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, well, we have Saturn opposite Uranus for five times. The first time was Election Day, and the last time is July 26th, 2010. And they'll be opposite each other at 0 degrees, Aries and Libra, which is called the world point, with Jupiter very near you. I'm sorry?
Wait, no, I'm just trying to absorb that. 0 degrees, Aries is the world point because of why?
Because it's the beginning of the zodiac.
I see. And at the beginning, why the world point? Why do they give it that? Term.
Well, I'm not sure where the name came from. They call it many things. They call it the cardinal point, the world point. What it is it's a very powerful place in the zodiac because when things hit, it is the beginning of the year. It is the beginning of the zodiac, and it initiates things. For example, the last time that Uranus entered Aries was 1926, and two very important events occurred in the world of entertainment.
What?
Movies started to talk, and television was patented.
Ah,
and those were technological advances, and in an enormous, they were incredible. Now, well, look what happens as this goes on. This time, 84 years later, Avatar comes out, and this whole big revolution in 3D, who knows where it's going to go, and you're also seeing, of course, the incredible explosion in technology anyway that's been going on. This will continue now as Uranus enters Aries. But it's opposing Saturn, and it's going to be squared by Pluto, creating a T-square. And that T-square will be resolved by America's Venus and Jupiter, our so-called money planets. This is a very stressful time. And I want to make a point, on August 24th in the year 410, Rome fell. That's when they opened up the gates and Rome was sacked. Okay. And even though the empire responded for a while later, it was pretty much a dead issue. It was on its way out. And what happened was Saturn, Neptune, and Pluto were conjunct in Taurus, squared by Uranus, an incredibly powerful force, unbelievably powerful. Of course, an astrologer in those days could not have predicted this, at least not from this, because they did not know about Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. Anyway, my point is this. This incredibly powerful force occurred and destroyed Rome, but it didn't destroy the Eastern Empire. The Byzantine Empire continued unabated for 1,000 years, or however long. And the reason is because humanity had reached a point of needing to change, to make a massive change. The East was apparently a more stable and less corrupt empire, so it continued. But under this influence, Rome fell. And it led us to 1,000 years of dark ages, but the end result is, had Rome not fallen, and they had invented nuclear bombs and all the things we've invented, can you imagine what the world would have been like?
So wait, let me understand that point. So the astrology obviously was the same for the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman Empire, but because there was a stable awareness, let's say, in the East, they were able to withstand the forces of the astrological impact? Is that what you're saying?
Also, I believe that if you could really get the correct birth dates for Rome, and there is a Roman historian who gives a date, but it's a little suspicious, you could probably see the reaction of these planets in the chart by transit. But look, we have massive aspects that occur. And one country will suffer greatly while another one or another part of the world won't. Certainly, we will. For example, the 60s. The 60s affected everybody in the world. China had their cultural revolution. Europe was, everything. Everybody was excited by the 60s one way or another. And in 1965 to 1967, Saturn opposed Uranus. just like it's doing now.
Okay.
And the end result of that opposition was this, what we call the 60s.
That was a revolution of cultural change, music, right. Art, music, creativity of all sorts happened right. in the 60s.
Right, so but that was a little more powerful. There was a great alignment. Let me sidetrack for a second, yeah. Alan. There was what we call a great alignment in Aquarius in February of 1962, when the Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn were all in Aquarius, and they were squared by Neptune and Uranus. So as a result, we had an explosion in Aquarius, which is higher consciousness, and the whole world exploded into music and art and all of this stuff, except where they were suppressed, of course. And even then, that was the seeds of destruction. That's the seeds of destruction for Russia.
Are you okay there?
Now, in May of 2000. We had another great alignment with all of those inner planets in Taurus, the most conservative of signs. This is why I was able to predict in 1999 that the Republicans would hold the White House for 8 years, and then the Democrats would hold it for 4 or 8 years, but the first 4 years would be pretty much an ineffectual presidency. The great alignment in Taurus pulled this world all the way to the right. We have a right-wing Supreme Court. We had the Bush administration for 8 years, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, the whole world is going to be affected by these things, but they're not all going to be affected the same way.
Right, right, right. So let me ask you then, we have this big public awareness about December 21st, 2012, the end of the Mayan calendar. People think it's a doorway. Some people say the galactic center moves to 0 degrees Capricorn. I don't know if that's true. But what's your take on 2012?
Well, you know, I always say to be a doomsday prophet is a no-win situation. If you're right, there's nobody there to pay you. And if you're wrong, you look like an idiot. I don't think we're going to blow up on 2012.
I don't think so either. I think it's a good thing. I think whatever's coming is uplifting.
That's exactly what I wanted to say about this whole period right now. We see this as a very difficult time. People are out of work. You know, everybody's scared, of course. As an astrologer, I have found it to be fairly accurate that most people do not change until they're in pain, until something comes along that makes them change. Humanity is no different. As Jung said, if something's wrong with the collective, then there's something wrong with me. And if there's something wrong with me, then there's something wrong with the collective. And the problem is that we don't like to make changes until our back is against the wall. Now our back is against the wall. We are going to make some changes in our society that we would not have made had this crash not happened. I don't see it as a pleasant time, but I see it as a positive thing.
So what kind of changes are you, let's say, predicting for... You know, what's coming up? What's coming for us?
Well, we're probably going to have another crash this summer, and it's going to be what they call a W or a double dip, where it might come down and try and test those bottoms again. There's a lot of things that are still very, very shaky. Commercial real estate and Europe and all kinds of places. But on a higher consciousness, of course, what I'm hoping will come out of this is that humanity, we've become complacent. Capitalism, as we play it now, will destroy humanity in a very short period of time. You cannot cut down the old forests to grow soybeans so you'll make more money for the next few years and there's no oxygen left. You can't keep living this way.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, if we don't change, it probably will be the end. And, you know. But something comes along like this, and it shakes up the world, and it gives us an opportunity, among other things. Let's see what the ultimate result's going to be. It's going to be a power struggle of incredible proportions in this country because people do not like to give up their point of view. We're a very egocentric nation. We really have a, you know, and if you're on the right, you believe that's right. If you're on the left, you believe that's correct. And there's no middle ground now at all. And there wasn't going to be. However, we are so scared as a collective right now, with so many people unemployed and not knowing what to do about the environment, etc., we have to find a meeting of the minds. There has to be some sort of a change. The change will come out of pain, unfortunately.
And we
well, that's, yeah, so what do you see? I mean, I know obviously things have to change because they can't go on the old way. The system is breaking down. But from your really key point of view, because you have these tools of these predictive forces, what is coming that you can concretely tell us based on the observation of the stars?
Well, several years of stagnation in our nation. It's going to take at least two more years before people recognize politically what is about to happen. The midterm elections are going to put some Republicans into the House and the Senate, and that's going to freeze our government up. As a result, we will have another financial crunch, the end result of which will be that people will finally, Republican, Democrat, anybody, will finally sit down and say, we've got to work this out. And more people, some of the politicians who are quitting out of absolute frustration. And this is a major point. We don't, we take the news for granted. Oh, another senator quit. This doesn't happen. Massachusetts does not elect Republicans. It just doesn't happen. So the reversals in power will go back and forth and back and forth. For several years, it will finally settle down. After 2010, some things will settle down. We still have to deal with Pluto, and that is a very dangerous planet because it does rule plutonium and vengeance and things like that. And there is probably going to be some rather difficult events that occur. The end result, I believe, and I hope, will be that America's going to grow up a little bit. We are going to recognize some of these things that we keep pushing aside. We don't want to deal with. We're already dealing with a lot of them in ways that, honestly, two years ago, you never in a million years would have believed that the president of the United States was going to tell bankers how much they could pay their CEOs, etc. Everything has become completely topsy-turvy. But it will settle down. The problem is, if it settles down too quickly, nobody's going to learn anything. We'll just go right back to where we were, and we'll continue to destroy the rest of the planet. If things get really hairy and really shaky, the end result will be what you and I talked about before, what we believe in, a rise in human consciousness. The euro has been doing so well for so many years. Now, all of a sudden, I'm sorry?
No, I'm just saying the rise in human consciousness seems to be coming either way, you know?
Yes, but the end result could be much, much different. You know, we're still in a rather totalitarian world. You know, where the governments control so many things, and the human individuality is being lost to corporate, not just America, but the international corporate world. That probably will not change because of a minor, financial disruption. And I think what we're going to have to do is demand some of the power back. The Supreme Court, in case you missed it, just recently handed the Republicans the next election, unless the Democrats do something in Congress, because they now have taken all restrictions away from corporations being able to spend money to either put someone into office or destroy them. And this is going to change American politics. And very, very severely. These are the kind of power struggles that we are being faced with as a culture, as a species, because it's now globalization. It's not just one little country. Anything that happens here happens everywhere. Which, getting back to the chart of the fall of Rome, if this hit today, it would hit every country because we are globalized now. And as a result, in Europe they're calling it PIGS, P-I-G-S, is Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. They are all on the verge of defaulting. They have no money left. And the euro is about to get slammed, and everything is being reversed. You'll see all
really?
Kinds of...
Really? The euro is going to get slammed? I thought euro was stronger than the dollar.
But not if you read this stuff and you pay attention on a week to week basis, some of the problems with our mortgages that we all remember, from 2 years ago, haven't even come to light yet. some of these countries, you read an article in the Times, I think it was today or yesterday, about how Goldman Sachs, our wonderful favorites, did a deal for Greece. I don't have the facts in front of me, to re-establish their debt in such a way that it was impossible for them to ever pay it. The corruption is so intertwined, and if we do not get it out of our system, it will suffocate us. It will simply close us off like a weed, you know, to a healthy plant.
Okay, and, what about the star? What about new discoveries in space that is helping to shift consciousness, as we talked about earlier? You said as we make new discoveries of outer planets,
right,
to help lift human consciousness. So, yes, we're at one level of having created the problem, but it seems like we are being helped along by aspects of consciousness unfolding.
Absolutely.
That will pick us up out of the problem.
Oh, I agree. I'm not a pessimist by nature. Being an astrologer means you can worry 6 months or a year, you know, before anybody else. But I'm not a pessimist. I think that we're going to survive this just fine. I just would like to see the changes occur that I think humanity needs. We're at a time of crisis, and that is the only time that people change. And this crisis could go either way. There's absolutely nothing that defines the result of this in an astrology chart. All it does is tell you what the energies are, and then the individual astrologer and his or her intuition will interpret. And as you said before, of course, they'll interpret sometimes differently, certainly.
Right. Is there anything specific, though, that happens on December 21st, 2012?
Not that I can see. I think we are just in a period of time, and it just like when 9/11 occurred, it was set off by Saturn opposite Pluto. However,
could you predict something like 9/11?
I did predict 9/11.
You did?
I was on Jenny's show predicting it for a year in advance.
What did you say? What did you ask?
I said as Pluto and Saturn go across our ascendant descendant in America's chart with the 12-degree Sagittarius ascendant that I and many other astrologers like these days, we were going to be hit with a very bad terrorist attack. And I said it, I was repeatedly on Jenny's show to the point where right before it happened, she turned to me on the show and she said, well, you know, Mitchell, a lot of my readers, my viewers love you and they love when you come on, but, you know, somebody mentioned that you're just talking about this so much and you're kind of scaring them. And I said, well, I'm sorry, Jenny, but it's very, very close. 2 weeks after the conjunct hit, was 9/11.
So is anything like that coming up? You did say something like that is going to happen again?
I think we have a chance of being attacked. And there's also a possibility of there being an internal attack, some sort of maybe homegrown terrorists or something like that. But I think that there is a very – I think unfortunately Joe Biden was wrong. I think there's a very good chance that we will be attacked again. I don't know how bad it will be. But the problem with picking dates, like 2012, you know, December 21st, it just like with the Saturn-Uranus opposition. The Saturn-Uranus opposition occurred on election day, but the crash happened several weeks before. You can't, day to day, if you're day trading, then, you know, you go and do that. But in terms of interpreting what we're looking for, which is the higher consciousness of all of this,
yeah.
What this is, Alan, this is a shaking of the foundation. There are many earthquakes happening and there's going to be volcanoes and there's going to be hurricanes and all that stuff because Saturn rules the actual Earth, the planet we stand on. And when Uranus opposes it and Pluto squares it, the tension and the stress that it creates on the individual or the collective's sense of security is what creates the changes. When you start getting really scared, you say, oh, my God, I will take that job in the shoe store because I got to pay my rent or whatever the deal is. And then you meet somebody and you fall in love and your life is wonderful. No, if you follow your instincts and you follow what is supposed to be, which is not always easy to know, you will get to the right place. And like I said, because of the fear that this is all creating in us, we're willing to listen to things and to ideas that we wouldn't have listened to before. And we're willing to try new ways. Obama has suddenly decided to build a nuclear plant. I don't happen to agree with him, but I recognize that he never would have done that had the economy not... That's just an example of somebody shaking their beliefs because of the times they live in. And they say the times make the man. I think they also make humanity.
So what do you feel is going to change in the way we think based on what you see coming? How are we going to look at the world differently in the future?
One thing, a lot of people are going to look at money differently and possessions. There's going to be a certain amount, of course, I don't expect miracles, so we are talking about people after all, but a certain amount of generosity, understanding, sharing. I've always said that if every rich person could spend a year washing dishes, it would help their consciousness so much to know what people suffer through and how they squeeze out a living and are so happy just to be able to pay the bills and then maybe go out for dinner. And this has all gotten lost. Alan, the whole thing got lost. Humanity got lost in the greed and the capitalistic, you know, pigginess of the last 50 years. It's been insane. This is shaking it. It is conceivable. Well, I said for the last 2 years we're in a depression, not a recession. And it will eventually be called that by history. But they can't call it that now because it doesn't look good on the paper. So they're calling it a recession, but we have almost 20% unemployment, some higher in some states. This is a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. But out of this chaos, we hope, comes order. And I'm very much a believer in our ability to solve our problems. We're very smart technologically. If our souls would only grow with it. And they're not going to grow when all you care about is how big your car is, how much money you make, and the rest of it. So this has shaken all of it. Many, many, many people who were perfectly fine, upper middle class, whatever, are unemployed. They're crying. They're trying to borrow money to pay their electric bill. They never thought this way in their entire lives. Now they are. Not that I'm happy that people are suffering, but it will change the collective, maybe sufficiently to make some of those changes to lead us into what we call the Aquarian Age. Each age lasts 2,000 years. Mm-hmm. When we were in the age of Pisces, that was the age of Christianity. Now we are moving out of Pisces and we're into the age of Aquarius. We need to make some changes in many things, in our beliefs and philosophies and everything else.
Well, I'm an Aquarian and I do believe in the Aquarian philosophy. When do you think that age will actually start to take hold? I mean, is there a fine line between...
No, there isn't. Just like with an aspect, if Saturn is coming along to your moon, you might feel it a couple of weeks or even a month or two in advance. An age takes 2,000 years, so you got to figure that it's got to take 100, 200 years to create the transformation period. Look at the age of Pisces. Christianity didn't suddenly explode. Jesus lived, Jesus died. About 100 years later, Christianity was a moving force in the Roman Empire. It took time. It took time for the seeds to grow. It took time, generations to learn. We learn from teaching our children well, as Stephen Still is saying. And the same thing is true now. We're entering the age of Aquarius. Well, we're not going to let go so easily of Pisces. And I'm not just talking about the Catholic Church or anything else like that. I'm talking about the whole consciousness of the Piscean era. We're not going to let go so quickly. We're going to have to go two steps forward, one step back.
Well, that's the story of the golden calf when the age of Aries was overtaking the age of Taurus.
Right.
People wanted to hold on to the golden calf.
Exactly. And the age of Taurus was the age of Judaism, because Judaism is ruled by Taurus. Modern Israel and ancient Israel, both ruled by Taurus.
But the ram's horn was also a sign of Judaism as well.
Well, yes, but Aries was the era of Rome.
Oh, I see.
Different periods, yeah. Rome was an Aryan nation, if you will. Which is why Hitler called Germany in the 40s and the 30s the Third Reich. The first Reich was Rome. And it's all connected. Basically, we are still living in Rome. We have football games now, and they put on helmets rather than throwing them to the lions. But we're very much the same. The kind of change and transformation that we need now is so much higher. It's the consciousness of Star Wars or you know, Star Trek or, you know, futuristic things where humanity has a different perspective.
Well, that's why I think the Aquarian Age will be an age that goes beyond planet Earth, where we actually will meet other beings from other star systems. Like that.
Certainly very possible. I wouldn't doubt that for a minute.
Do you get it?
Go ahead.
You get in a date for that kind of contact?
No, I think it's just, like I say, you know, Aquarius rules humanity. And as we get closer into the age, get more into the age, and leave behind the Piscean age, and like I said, it takes several hundred years, I think, to complete, then we will see things differently. The differences between people, whether you're black or white or male or female or tall or short or fat, none of that matters. We only see that because our society makes a thing about it. As the society changes and the culture changes, well, that'll change too. And then, if we ever do meet aliens, all of a sudden, you know what, your cousin and the guy across the street, they're a lot closer to you than these people, because that's the way few people are. You know, you go to a foreign country and you meet an American, whether he's an idiot or not, you want to talk to him because he's from your country. So there is a collectiveness that has to come about, and it's doing it, it's happening, Alan. It's scary now, and people are frightened because they don't have any money and the rest of that, but on a bigger level, if you can pull back and you're able to do that, you should be able to notice and recognize that the potential collapse of our government, which is also, I mean, I don't think it's going to collapse exactly, but what's going on is very, very interesting. Because until the big boys fall, nothing changes. I don't think America is going to crumble, but I think America needs to go through a serious, and we're doing it, a serious soul-searching.
So do you have any final words, and give people a website and how to get in touch with you, and you know, where you do readings? Give them all your information, but give us some final words, too.
Well, my final words, of course, are to do what is right. And people know what is right. They don't. It's nonsense to say, I didn't realize that was wrong. Of course you know. We just haven't been hurt enough. We haven't been hit enough. I am very optimistic about the outcome of all of this. I think it's going to be a couple of years of some struggle, but that struggle should make all of us grow more. And I think our consciousness as a species is rising. And we will eventually, I hope, stop the stupidness we've been doing. For example, there's a big island of garbage, mostly plastic, that's twice the size of Texas, that floats through the Pacific Ocean. And
I know, it's awful.
Of course, we can't go on that way for much longer. And if we do, we'll do that. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think we have more self-preservation than that.
Well, thank you, Mitch. I'm talking to Mitch Lewis. Tell us how to reach him.
Yeah, MitchAstro.com is my website. And you can do that or email me through there or MitchAstro@AOL. And I give private readings and lecture, whatever, and teach. I'm teaching a couple of times a week now. It's a lot of fun.
Where are you teaching?
I teach out of my house.
Okay.
I find it's nice, small. If the classes get bigger, I will move them back downtown where I used to teach. But right now I try to keep the classes small and intimate. And it's a great deal of fun. It really is.
So we'll do some other updates, okay? Coming up, Joe? Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for all that information. I've been talking to Mitch Lewis, who's an astrologer, used to work in the stock market predicting trends there. So that was a little kind of opening into what is possible. But like he said, we also have the power to change it. And my next guest is Master Zigong Sha, who is someone who actually tapped into that power of transformation. So, Master Sha, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Alan.
Thank you. Nice to hear you. We met a couple of years back, if you remember. I don't know.
Yes, I remember. Thank you again.
Thank you. And, you know, we're talking about this human ability to change, and I think you have tapped into something about a human potential. Can you describe what it is that you do and how we can all do that?
Thank you. I have written 5 major books in Soul Power series. Ellen, you know, many teachers talk about mind over matter, which means mind can transform our health, relationship, finances. The movie What Bleep Do We Know, Secrets, many books, many workshop seminars. I honor mind over matter. Mm-hmm. I am teaching and sharing soul over matter, which means our beloved soul can transform our health, relationship, and finances.
But what is the soul? How do you define it, and where is it?
Thank you, Ellen. Soul is a golden light being. I wrote the book, The Power of Soul, one of the Soul Power series. The first chapter I have explained, and like Ellen asked me, what is soul? Why do we need to learn soul? How soul can transform our life? Answer Ellen's questions. Soul is the golden light being. It locates in 7 areas inside the body. It depends your spiritual condition. Everybody like a human being has, you know, baby, teenager, you know, adults, senior. So your soul has a condition and the wisdom, knowledge. Therefore, where soul sits inside the body, there are 7 areas of the body at the center of the body, from the lower abdomen to the top of the head. There are 7 areas. It depends your soul's wisdom, knowledge, power, abilities. Every person's soul sits in different part of your body.
Okay, so tell me a little bit, though, your background. I mean, how were you able to get in touch with all this knowledge, and where did you get this experience from?
Thank you. My background, I came from China. When I was at the age 6, I met a Tai Chi master. I went to the park with my parents. A Tai Chi master taught his few disciples. They do the pushing hands exercise. The grand master used a little strength. His disciple flew away for 20 to 25 feet away. Mm-hmm. I said, wow, how powerful this master. I went to him. I said, yeah, means grandfather. I said, I want to learn this. He looked at me for a while, and he said, you are too young to learn this. I said, please, I want to learn this. He said, if you really want to learn this, I want to see your parents. I ran to my parents. I pulled their arms. I said, I want to learn from this grandmaster. With great support of my parents, I started my Tai Chi practice at the age 6. At the age 10, I start Qigong. Ellen, you know Qigong, Chinese Qigong practice, right?
Right.
Yeah, Qigong is energy practice. Then at age 12, I did Shaolin Kung Fu. People understand this. Then I studied knife, sword, stick, this kind of Shaolin Kung Fu. Later, I studied Yi Jing, Feng Shui. I studied Western medicine as MD. I also studied traditional Chinese medicine as an acupuncturist and a herbalist. And in my whole life experience, Chinese Asian arts, Tai Chi, Qigong, Yi Jing, Feng Shui, Western medicine, traditional Chinese medicine. In 1993, I met a grandmaster who taught me Zhineng medicine and space medicine. Zhineng medicine. Means intelligence and capabilities of the mind and soul, body space medicine talk about the between the cells, the space between organ, the space. How do you use herbs, use energy, use soul healing to balance the space inside the body, which named the body space medicine. Because this organ background in 2003, Divine came to me in one event. Divine said, Jigang, I choose you as my servant and the servant of humanity.
Wait, one second. I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. You said there was like a divine presence that came to you? Is
yes.
that what you mean?
And July,
like a God-type presence that came to you?
Why was it, can you hear me?
Yeah, a divine presence came to you, you said.
No, that's July 2003 in Land Medicine Buddha in the Bay Area with a full, you know, so many people there. Divine came, Divine said, Jigang, and today I will pass a spiritual law to you. I said, I'm honored to hear. And Divine said, this spiritual law is named Universal Service. And he said, I am a servant, you are a servant, everyone is a servant. A universal servant offers universal service, including love, forgiveness, compassion, and light. And he said, I pass this law to you to spread to the humanity. He said, if one does a little service, receive a little blessing from universe. If one offers more service, more blessing. If one offers unconditional universal service, receive unlimited blessing. Divine pause a moment, and he continues, see, if one, in Mother Earth, there are unpleasant services, including killing, harming, taking advantages of others, cheating, stealing, and more. And he said, if one offers unpleasant service a little, learn a little lesson. I asked back, I said, what you are talking about, Divine? God said, and the lessons include, health issue, relationship, and financial challenges. Divine said, this is a karma. Are you understanding karma? I said, yes, I do. And I understand some. I study Buddhism. I study Chinese Asian culture. I understand in the previous life, you do good things, you did good things, you were rewarded. It's named the cause-result relationship, cause-effect
right.
relationship.
Right.
Anyway, everyone understand this. So Divine showed me if a person really harm a lot, it could have major lessons. Then I made a vow at the moment. I said, I'm so happy, God, you showed me this spiritual law. I am making a vow to you. I will be a servant for humanity. God smiled and God left. 3 months later in Toronto, my one soul retreat, Divine came again. And God said, from today, and because all your past life effort and this life effort, I choose you as a servant of humanity and me. And I said, I'm honored to be your servant, Divine. God said, this servant is a little unique. From today, you offer my healing for humanity. I was moved by tears. I said, how to do this? Divine said, okay, let me show you. And God showed me if people has a back pain, knee pain, Ellen, you may heard about it, you may not heard about it. I started to do soul transplant since July and 2003. I have offered, I do not know how many, more than 100,000 soul transplant worldwide. The idea is like this. Remember, you just asked me, what is the soul? Soul
yes.
is the golden light being. People talk about the body, mind, the spirit. Spirit is soul. Therefore, people understand human being, Alan, you have soul, I have soul, every listener has a soul. But the people may not be aware that every organ, heart, kidney, lung, stomach, brain, and every cell, every DNA has a soul. And God showed me and healed the soul first, then the healing of mind and the body will follow. Therefore, and God started to show me, the first case was the liver cancer in Toronto, and the guy has a 3-centimeter liver cancer. God said, you watch what I'm doing. And from heaven, a beam of golden light come to this man's liver. I saw that it turned to a golden light ball, rotated inside the liver. God said, ask this man to connect this, light ball, divine. God said, this is my light ball. You just ask this man to chant the divine, the liver, light ball. Divine, the liver, light ball. I said, how long this man will chant? Divine said, chant 2 hours per day. And God said, it takes about 2 to 3 months. Ask him to go to check up in the hospital. I asked this man, his name is Water. I said, can you do 2 hours per day? He said, I will do Master Shah, I will do more than 2 hours per day. So, and in fact, a little bit more than 2 months, he went back to hospital. His liver cancer disappeared. Up to now, in many years already, and nothing happened again. So that's why I start this soul transplant, and I start soul healing. I have traveled worldwide for since July 2003. I spend about 10 months per year traveling all over the world.
So when you give your healings, that's what you're doing now, and actually you'll be appearing tomorrow night, February 17th, at the Learning Annex in New York. People can look up Learning Annex or call 212-371-0280 to see Master Shah in person. But in your Learning Annex, in your talks, do you pull in that power of healing?
Yes, and I will teach about the power of soul. Alan, in fact, if you give me an honor and a privilege and give me a permission, I can spend 2 minutes all for healing to all the listeners.
Oh, I'd love that. I think everyone here, everyone at the radio station would love please give us a healing and
good.
We'll take
Alan, let me share with you. I explain a little bit. Since I shared a divine experience with me to choose me as a servant, that I started the weekly free healing on a teleconference remotely at the beginning, 10 to 20 people. Alan, do you know now how many people on the New Year's Eve? Now I have the weekly live webcast on computer and a teleconference together. Now I reach 9,400 people, more than 50 countries.
9,000 people listening every week? What's the number?
Usually every week, 1 or 2,000 people. At the New Year's Eve, 9,500 people.
What's the number people can call to find
people
out?
People can go to www.drsha.com. Every Saturday now, every Saturday, is New York time, 2 to 3 p.m. People can go to my computer, register, then they can see me live with everybody understand live webcast. I'm sitting there to give a healing, free healing for humanity every week, 1 or 2,000 people, 20, 30 countries regularly.
Wow, thank you. So give us a little healing now. I'm ready.
Sure. And let me do this. Everybody understand surgery. this Western medicine surgery is very important for people's health. I'm the MD from China, so that is, you know, I honor surgery very much. Surgery have saved many people's life. But I'm doing soul operation. I'm sitting in a hotel, and Ellen is in the studio.
I'm in my apartment, but we have Don in the studio.
I ask Divine the light to open one area of your body. How about that? And as a service, everybody to do this. If you have a knee pain, left knee, put your palm on the left knee. If you have a shoulder pain, put one palm. If you heart, you just put one palm on the heart. Neck pain, lower back. You just put one palm in one area of the body you want to receive the healing. Tomorrow night, I will do a healing much more. Now I give one example. All people together, it does not matter how many people listening. Everybody choose one part of the body. I'm going to spend 2 minutes. Start ready. Prepare. Soul operation start. Cut. Divine the light. Cut the area. The skin, the tissue, the muscle, the bone, the organ. Open. Spiritually open. It's not a physical. This is spiritual service. Divine service. Now, after open, I shake my hands in front of my body. Divine the light. Clear the area. Hold on 1 minute. Clear soul, mind, body blockages. My one hand to hold the telephone. My another hand in front of my chest. I'm shaking my hands. I'm connecting with one area of your body. I'm doing remote soul healing. I call soul operation. 30 seconds more. I'm shaking, remove soul, mind, body blockage for one area. Remove soul, mind, body blockage. One more time. Remove soul, mind, body blockages. Close the spiritual incision, suture, and smooth. How means to get well. So thank you very much. You could give a feedback to Ellen through email, whatever connection you have. I'm here tonight, tomorrow, Learning Annex, 7 to 9 p.m. And people can find out New York.
Go to learningannex.com to see Master Shah live tomorrow, February 17th. Thank you so much. I actually did feel some movement in the knee injury that I had. So thank you for the work you're doing here.
Ellen?
I really appreciate that, Dr. Shah.
Shah. Hold for a second. I want to offer further healing. If you like it, I will offer divine soul mind body transplant of your knee. Change the just now soul operation clear energy blockage. The further healing is change soul mind body. It's taking me a few seconds. Do you want to do this?
Sure, please. I think we just have a few seconds left, but please go ahead.
Divine soul mind body transplant for knee of Ellen. Transmission. All the soul left and the big one coming. John S. One. Ellen, what you need to do is to put your palm on the knees and do a little tapping. Divine the soul mind body transplant. Heal me. Thank you, Divine. So you do few minutes per time, few time a day, until you fully recovered. I have thousands of heart-touching cases. Tomorrow I welcome you. I'm a seldom in New York. They put me on the cover page in Learning Annex, letting me serve you healing tomorrow night. I'm honored to serve you. Welcome you. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, Master Shah. I've been talking to Master Shah, who is really the inheritor of 5,000 years of wisdom and teaching and Qigong, and truly a master. And obviously, if you were listening, able to tap into that divine healing energy. So I recommend seeing him. Go to his website, drshaw.com. This is Alan Steinfeld, and thank you for listening tonight to New Realities. If you want to reach me, you can go to newrealities.com or email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Dr. Shah. Thank you, Mitchell Lewis. Thanks, Don and Seth at BBS Radio. Talk to you next week.
There is no sadness, only sorrow.